Good morning to all the attendees to this first quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa. We'd like to thank all the people that are with us through the webcast and who have dialed the numbers that we have provided since several weeks ago. Today we are with Dr. Carlos Ignacio Gallego, president of Grupo Nutresa. Also with our corporate finance and VP, Santiago Escobar, and Alejandro Jimenez, Investors Relations Director. With these welcoming remarks, we'd like to welcome Carlos Ignacio Gallego. Good morning to you all. I'm pleased to be with you during this presentation of the first quarter 2014 results, and I'd like to begin greeting you, as this is my first result as president of Grupo Nutresa, and surely many of you have known of the process in which Dr. Carlos Enrique Piedraita has begun his retirement, and through a process I was chosen to occupy this position. And after working 23 years in companies of Grupo Nutresa, during several years, I led the creation of the group's shared services, and also I worked with Compañía Nacional de Chocolates. I was really devoted to the development of the South region. The strategy that Grupo Nutresa has is the result of its direction, and I am completely committed to it. And the idea is to reach the goals that we have set forth by 2020 and the sales that we have in 2013 also show us a profitability corridor of 12%. So that's really what we'll be working on, especially on innovation. We'll be active in acquisition, and we will have the organic growth the company needs. So my message is to greet you and to tell you that we will continue the strategies that we have built together and to continue working to build the trust with our consumers and the markets, investors like you. And for this, I consider that it's very important to have these results in which we can interact and discuss important aspects of the company. Now let's move on, please, to slide number two. And there are two things that stand out on this slide. First has to do with the development on our out-of-the-box, which is an investment plan for disruptive innovation. And it really has to do with growth projects, and really we are boosting innovation to reach new categories. And we know that these are usually different things, as the name is, out of the box. And with this investment plan, we had 52 projects submitted. We had a jury. And this year, at the early on, we chose two projects because of their potential projection and what they can contribute to the future of the company. Two were awarded, and each project work team received 4,000 million pesos to develop their business plan. So the idea is that we can have a more radical progress in innovation. And the second item on slide two relates to our annuals and sustainability report, GRI, G4th, according to the guides of the Global Reporting Initiative, GRI, G4. In this, Grupo Nutresa is quite advanced worldwide, and the difference between G4 and prior versions is that it has to do with materiality. the idea is to discuss with stakeholders their expectations and interests, and these are kept in mind when you want to report. This report is available. Slide number 2 shows you the link in which you can download it and read it, so you can get to know much more what we're doing and how we're doing it. So those are the highlights of slide 2. And now, please move on to slide number 3. And let's review here our accumulated sales during this first quarter of 2014 in Colombia. I am pleased to report that we had a great quarter. Sales grew significantly, and as you can see, sales were 960,600 million in Colombia, with a growth of 9.2%. And this was really boosted by volume, and this is important. That 9.2% means 8.3% in volume and 0.8% in prices. There's good dynamics in most of the categories. And if we look at each business in Colombia sales, I'd say that coffee and pasta deserve a comment set aside ahead. But really, we had good sales. For instance, in cold cuts, we had sales in $334 million. In biscuits, $153 million, with a growth of 11.4%, which is great. Chocolates, $165 million, 8.1% growth. And coffee, $122,000. But, however, if we analyze this closely, we see at the volumes of the 5.3 of coffee and the price dropped 6.3. And this was a decision that was taken last year because we decided to transfer to the consumer part of that advantage of our commodity price. And that's reflected on the total sales figures. Ahead, we'll tell you about the shares of coffee and the progress, the major progress made, and really what we can see on this top graph of slide 2, slide 3, is very ice cream, also a great quarter with a growth of 9.1%, and pasta, more modest growth of 0.2%, which reflects lower dynamics in supermarkets, especially in the area of Cundinamarca. And I'd say that's a quarter in which the grains, which are important substitutes, had historically low levels. But we believe that this figure will improve throughout this year. So in short, we had a great quarter in Colombia. Sales in Colombia, as you can see, it's a great indicators that we see here. And this allows to see the dynamics of the country. If we look at the lower graph, the same slides, this one is international sales. And here you can see that we had international sales of $306 million with a growth of 52.5%. It's, however, important to clarify that the cold cuts growth of 50.8% was influenced by the inflation of Venezuela. Really, when we look at Venezuela closer, you can see that they had a growth of 56% inflation, and this is a great growth in inflation. Biscuits had a good quarter, $64 million, growing 3.9%, and you could say that for the rest of the year, we will see this uptrend. Chocolates, $35 million, with the growth of 3.1%. Coffee, minus 23.4%, especially because of what happened in sales in Colombia, and it's that those low coffee prices were transferred mostly to important customers that we have in the international market. in ice cream, $14 million, with a growth of 2.7%. And during this quarter, for the first time, we see Tres Montes Lucchetti with $85.7 million. You can observe that the quarter is great, with a growth of 52.5%. We grew in Mexico, but remember in the last quarter we mentioned that we would have to anticipate sales in Mexico because of the entrance of the several reforms. So those $85 million of Lucchetti really have to do with what's happened in Mexico. And now, we really thought that the entire quarter would be low, but the recovery began thanks to our team. And now in March, in Tres Montes Lucchetti, we saw the recovery. So really, this figure of Tres Montes, we believe, will be improved in the following quarters. When you analyze these international sales, you can see them through the organic growth, in which this case grew 9.9%, which is quite good. Now, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, let's move to slide 4. Here you see a combination of sales in Colombia and internationally. And we see a growth of 26.6%. This growth is double digit, boosted mainly by the excellent performance seen in Colombia and because of the agreement of Tres Montes Lucchetti in international sales. So this is extremely good with regards to the commercial area. And we are optimistic, therefore, for the rest of this year. Now let's move on, please, to slide 5. Here we can see a summary of sales by region. International sales reached in this quarter 38.9%. In the first quarter of 2013, international sales were 29.1%. You can see on this figure the figures of each region. And you can see that we are reaching, as planned, a balance in the region. Grupo Nutresa has a portfolio of categories and also geographies. And you can see in Chile, it's already 8.1%, Peru 1.3%, Ecuador 0.9%, Colombia 61.1%. Venezuela 8.4, and we already mentioned that this is basically because of the inflation of this country. Dominican Republic and the Caribbean 1.3%, Central America 7.3%, Mexico 2.6%, and the U.S. 6.9%, in which we are increasing significantly our share. So the commercial summary is quite positive. And then if we move on to slide 6, you can see the market share of the group in Colombia plus that of Tres Montes. And I'm very pleased that this is one of the best market share reports of Colombia we've had. The consolidated of Grupo Nutresa reached 30.6% of market share, and we're quite active in Colombia. This can be compared with the 59.6% seen in the last quarter of 2013. In each of the columns of slide 6, you can see cold guts, biscuits, chocolates, coffee, ice cream, pasta, and the last column is that of Tres Montes Lucchetti. And in each column, you can see the market share that's year on year. And I'd like to emphasize the cold cuts column here. I'd like to mention it because it's the business that has the highest share among the sales that we have in Colombia. And it's mentioned that the brands here report, or private labels, have a market share of 72.9%, which is great. We're improving 0.8%. And this is a result of great teamwork, working closely with the distribution channels. And after handling price variations and variables, to see advantages and great marketing efforts and also innovative efforts. For instance, it's quite very difficult to have great results like this. So it's great to see that this higher market share is seen in cold cuts. I'd also like to talk about biscuits, because perhaps of all of the businesses that we have in Colombia, biscuits have as an aggressive or fierce competitive market share. All of the large labels in terms of biscuits are involved here. And to say that we have a share of 54.6%, increasing 0.8%, is fantastic. And you can see in with Nestle, it's 12.4%, and Mondelez is 10.8%. When it comes to biscuits also, I'd like to say that the number one thing to have this improvement has to do with innovation. We've got very successful innovations here, very timely sales, all supported and backed by our distribution channel, which is unequal or unparalleled in Colombia. So I'd like to highlight these two columns. You can look at the others as well. Look, you can see that in Chile, what I mentioned, just having a first quarter growing more than 5% in Chile, that's because of the good position we have in the market. So in short, commercially, there are good sales and good news of our market share. Now let's move on, please. After discussing the commercial area, to slide 7, the commodities index, how the commodities performed during this first quarter. And for this, let's look at slide 7. On this slide, you can see the curve where of the commodities index of Grupo Nutresa, and here you can see that there's a rise compared to the prior quarter. And overall, there's a growth of 12.6% of the index, which in the compared to the last quarter of 2013, if you look at this compared to the average of 2013, this is a growth of 12.3%. The main increases of the index have to do with coffee, regarding 38.6%, cocoa, 5.4%. That 5.4%, it's because we already, in the prior index, had included this. And also we can see that the index is going upwards because of this coffee. So in short, we have coffee, cocoa, and pork, and also sugar with 6.7%, and wheat, 5%. When you look at these values, I'd like to clarify that these values have to do with market prices. So it doesn't mean that these are the prices at which Grupo Nutresa has purchased, unless used. Because fortunately, when it comes to managing commodities, our group combines good inventories, levels, and also we use all of the strategies of hedges. So these inventories combined with our hedges have allowed us during this first quarter of 2013 to have not a big hit in this area. The other news is that we still have a good position, and looking at this landscape of the commodities, it allows us to be more moderate. It's very likely, anyways, that we will add to our inventories, managing prices in some categories. Commercially, the growth of the first quarter was boosted mainly by the volumes, and some prices even dropped. But hereafter, in 2014, we will have to touch and increase some prices, always keeping in mind the consumer. We know that the peace of mind that we have with some categories is very important. And also profitability is important because we must transfer some things to the consumers. Among the effects mentioned in the future that can hurt our commodities, we have the chance of El Niño phenomenon again. It's been said that there's a more than 50% likelihood that El Niño will be hitting this region. And this, of course, will cause droughts in some regions, floods in others, and also some commodities will react, of course. And we're studying this effect so that we can be prepared, especially with our commodities. Now let's move on, ladies and gentlemen, please, to slide 8. And here what you can see is the raw material diversification of Grupo Nutresa. In this case, you can see that what we mostly consume are packaging materials. And really, this graph includes Tres Montes Fruchetti, which has big intensity on packaging materials. During the first quarter of last year, we saw it was second, but now packaging material is first. Pork, which is second now, was third before. And here, as I told you before, there's a rise, a trend for a rise in pork, especially because of the high inflation in Venezuela. And coffee is third place. Last year, it was first. So anyway, having this diversification enables us to manage these risks better, because here we have, with these commodities, the diversification of each. So after this introduction and touching the commercials, and the commodities. Now let's listen to Jose Domingo Penagos, who will discuss with you the EBITDA. Good morning for you all. To talk about profitability of the group, let's look, please, at slide 9. And allow me to begin by saying that the total EBITDA of the group is 219,000 million pesos, and it's on a rise still of 21.8%. And this includes the businesses, including Tres Montes Lucotti, and also with the organic growth, which is 13.8%, which is quite significant. When it comes to margin, it's 13.9% consolidated. This margin continues growing. It's really on the very top of the range that we have defined for the 2020 goal. And mainly, we can see each of the businesses here. Cold Cuts shows an EBITDA margin of 12%. But I'd like to highlight that this has the effect of Venezuela. In Venezuela, meaning the Colombia and Panama, has a profitability of 16.1%. And even with what's happening in raw materials, coal cuts can't manage prices very well like we saw commercially. And by managing the prices and the good dynamics of volumes, the EBITDA and margin of 16% is very good. Remember last year, this margin of Colombia-Panama was 15.6%. Then let's move on to biscuits. The growth is very high, so it's almost 68%, and it's above the corridor. Biscuits business really handles well raw materials, savings, the Atlas of global sourcing system, and the operating efficiency turn the this a bit of a margin of biscuits into something very good. Remember last year it was 9.2% of a bit of a margin, so this increase is very significant. Moving on to chocolates, although on the very top of the range with 13.9%, it has been hurt because of the price of cocoa. It has been increasing since last year, and now it displays effects on the profitability of chocolates business. Moving on to coffee, you can see that the EBITDA is historical of 24.3%. As I told you in the commodity slide, the coffee price has been increasing in 2014. But still we have intrinsic value and inventories since last year, and it's allowed us to handle well the profitability of coffee business during this beginning of 2014. When it comes to ice cream, the margin is very significant, higher than the range, and it's been hurt compared to last year, especially because of raw materials, particularly the dairy products, which have increased this year in price. However, the commercial dynamics of ice cream are in a good path. And there's a better composition and because of our innovations. And we know that during this year, the EBITDA margin will be above what we see in this quarter. Moving on to pasta, this business, as evidenced in the commercial aspect, was hurt because of the commercial dynamics. It doesn't have significant increases in volumes, and this, of course, shows this drop in the EBITDA margin. But still, we have an EBITDA of 11%, and that will allow us to have a higher range by the end of the year. Lastly, we have Tres Montes Luquete, and specifically, it's hurt by the non-sales in this first quarter, but the dynamics of the margin in Chile and other regions are doing well. And this is aided to mitigate what's happening in Mexico. In Mexico, we have inventories in all of our channels, so surely this will be changing during this year. Now let's move on, please, to slide 10 to talk about the income statement. Let's look at total operating revenues. Let's talk about the organic growth also. Particularly, sales grew 12.4% organically, and here the cost of goods sold grew 28.3%. This is a good growth compared to the sales, and this is mainly because of the effect of Venezuela already mentioned and that of Mexico, of Tres Montes Luquete. Administrative expenses are quite high, 58.9%. And since this is organic, it's really 15.3%. Here I'd like to highlight that this has to do with the mercantile credit of Tres Montes Luquete. Overall, these administrative expenses, sales expenses, and production expenses are quite interesting. So now looking at the effect of Tresmontes-Lucchetti in Mexico, that really explains why we have a gross income of 24.6% and total operating revenues of 26.6%. Below the operating line, as we have heard in other conferences, financing is an important item. We see that the financial revenues moved to $40,000 this year, and this is basically an indicator that is quite sound, very good. And it's a growth percentage that's quite notorious. So combining all these effects, the good performance that we have in Colombia, the effects of the expenses of Tresmontes-Lucchetti, the better and improved dynamics commercially of Tresmontes in Mexico, plus the effects of the lower financial performance of Venezuela, our net income is 85,000 million pesos, growing 7.3% compared to the same period of 2013. Now let's move to slide 11, please. Here we see consolidated net debt. You can see here that it's 1.88 pesos, and also the debt in general terms has good characteristics. You can see the average financial costs are at 8.62% and a mean of 1.62%. And also, at the beginning of April, for instance, we can see that this includes Tresmontes-Lucchetti, and here you can see transactions of about $77 million made with the banks of Chile with terms of 7 years and savings of basic points of 3 points. So we managed a cap rate plus 80 points in Mexico. And of course, it's not reflected on this table, but we will see it in the second quarter of this year. Last, looking the CapEx. Remember, we spoke early this year that we had a CapEx for this year. We ratified that same figure for $50 million. This is not executed linearly because we're getting closer to the goal, but we can ratify that the CapEx is ratified for the year 2014. This ends the profitability and debt of the company figures. Now let's look at the perspectives of 2014. When it comes to the perspectives, I'd like to divide this chapter into two parts. First, to look at the commercial landscape in Colombia. We are optimistic with regards to the commercial dynamics. We believe that this dynamic in terms of margins will remain the same. As said before, when it comes to the prices of commodities, we believe that the trend will remain the same. There are some categories in which we'll make some price adjustments. So in Colombia, what we see from here on is a positive dynamic with good growth rates. And as I said, perhaps not only boosted by volumes, but also by prices, but positive, quite positive. Internationally, we also foresee a positive landscape. I'd say that excluding Venezuela, in which you all know that there's a higher level of uncertainty, we see in Chile and a good rest of the year. It's good. Mexico, after overcoming the transition that we had with the instant cold drinks And also with the inventories, we believe that the dynamic will be good. In the U.S., we're doing well, and we believe that we will improve even more. Central America has been relatively stable, but we don't see any drops there in Ecuador. We also see a good rest of the year. And when it comes to Asia, which we discussed our entrance, we will begin to capture this area. So I'd say that commercially, we see a good rest of the year for Colombia and also internationally. And combining both, this will be a commercial topic that's positive and optimistic. When it comes to profitability, when it comes to the major risk of Grupo Nutresa relates to commodities, the company has been displaying a higher price of the commodities. As I said at the beginning of this presentation, we will be combining, making good use of the inventories in times when prices are in favorable levels to use derivatives and hedges that will help us with the impact of the higher commodity prices. And we'll be also increasing prices of categories that, of course, will not set us apart from our consumers. When we cross the commercial and the profitability levels, we foresee that we'll have an EBITDA that will be reached according to budget. So despite the situation of the commodities, the way that we're managing this and the commercial levels that we have, Grupo Nutresa will be 14% to 15% margin levels. That, in terms of the perspectives, we don't foresee any other major risk. And generally, we try to manage always our good opportunities and to make both variables controllable to make good use of this in Grupo Nutresa. So this has to do with our perspectives. I think we can close, and Alejandro has the floor. Okay? Right now, let's begin the Q&A session. Let's ask, please, all of you to give your name and the company where you work at. Questions. If you wish, you can ask a question. You can have a counter question as well if you deem it's necessary. And let's open this Q&A session and have a discussion directly with the president. Questions about strategies and any comments that you may have that you want to discuss directly with the president. Thank you. Now let's begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star followed by number one. If you want to remove your question, please press number. If you are using a speaker, please use the telephone directly. Again, so if you have a question, press star followed by one. And we have a question, Andres Soto. Yes, good morning. Andres Soto from Santander. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, for your presentation. I have two questions. One, based on the position of inventories of raw materials that you have, when do you expect that there's a margin of a maneuver? When do you expect for the second or third quarter to have a margin that will affect you, especially with regards to what's happening in coffee? That's my first question. Second has to do with the tax reform in Chile and what PACs you have identified so far. At least give us an idea of what's happening there. Okay, thank you, Andres, for your two questions. Let's discuss the first one. When you look at the position of commodities, before we would share that basket, and what's interesting is that the effects are not simultaneous. Hedges and inventories have different levels with raw materials. For instance, we have more of wheat than other categories, so we can say that it's not possible to provide you a date per se. But if you try to make an overall average, I think that these effects would be seen in the second quarter. I think that the next quarter will be quite good still. But by combining everything that we see, for instance, in coffee, particularly, right now we have margins that allow us to advance, and we keep levels, the desired levels, and according to fluctuations, we make good use of the downtrend cycle so that we can handle loosely the commodities. So we foresee that the next quarter will have a very covered landscape, and combining inventories and hedges will give us that peace of mind. And when we don't have this peace of mind, we will be making use of the price variable so that the profitability will be less affected. But we do expect that the first effects will be felt more on the second semester of the year. With regard to the reform in Chile, there are really two parallel reforms. One is what you've mentioned, is a tax reform, and the other one has to do with regulation changes and food products. Early on, both reforms went hand in hand, then they were separated. We have had experience with everything that happened in Mexico, and we're capitalizing that experience. So for the portfolio of Tres Montes Rucchetti, we do not foresee great hindrance when it comes to sugar. Remember, Tres Montes Rucchetti has a product portfolio that includes pasta, tea, nectars, and instant cold drinks that have sugar. So when it comes to products, we are making good use of knowledge, and we foresee a small impact. There are other reforms in Chile that are still being discussed. They are bills still. And the idea is that the tax rate may increase. We're looking at these bills closely, and we're acting through the guilds in Chile along with the industrialists so that Chile can be competitive as it is to this date under normal conditions. So for now, the projects that we have and what we've seen is that the tax rate could increase. As you know, the EBITDA margin is not affected. It would affect us with regards to the net profitability from Chile, but that's basically what I can say about those two questions, Andres. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And we have Rafael Muñoz. Go ahead with your question, please. Good morning. My name is Rafael Spania from G5. Part of my question has to do with the consolidated income rate that you discussed already with Chile. But also, I'd like to know what other taxes are there, for instance, in Chile. What do you expect? And also, I'd like to know about Venezuela and what strategy you have for that country when it comes to inflation and sales. I know that with a major inflation, sales increase, but what type of currency are you using for this reporting? And my third question, please provide me a summary of why operating margins are increasing year by year. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafael.
I'd like to directly respond to your first two questions, and the last one I'll ask Mr. José Domingo to answer. When it comes to the tax rate, if I understood your question well, we have Chile and we have Grupo Nutresa. When it comes to Chile, right now, there's a bill. It's underway. And with the justification of investing more money in education, the government of Chile wants to make several changes, among them to possibly increase the tax, income tax. And there's where we're acting in Chile with all of the entrepreneurs. And it's okay. It's not good to invest. We believe that we must invest in Chile and in education, of course, but so far we are optimistic of what Chile is experiencing. This first year has been positive. We've been well received. We have good prospects to grow there. So what we've seen is that if the reform, according to the drafts that are underway now, we'd see that the income tax in Chile would increase, but we haven't seen any tax related to products like that of Mexico can give us a significant hit. So really, with all the experience and knowledge that we have with Mexico, we are looking at what's happening in Chile. That's with regards to taxes in Chile and Colombia. Right now, we're in the first year of applying the PRET, which there are some people in this conference that are from abroad. Let me explain. This tax reform is to cross several taxes or payments related to wages or payrolls, and they are placed as an additional payment to create profits. The first year of applying the CRA was normal because there was like a double payment. So this year, the CRE is being applied, and Grupo Nutresa, when it started to make simulations with the tax reform in Colombia, that tax probably would affect neutrally, meaning we would save on one side, but we would be charged on the other side. Perhaps in the first quarter, we still have an impact with a higher tax, but for the rest of the year, it will be neutral in Colombia. So that in terms of tax rate, we don't see anything significant that can hurt us. Now when it comes to your second question about Venezuela, Venezuela is a market that's natural for products made by Grupo Nutresa. Our labels are appreciated there. When we have availability, people really buy it. They're highly demanded in Venezuela. But given the economic conditions of importing products to Venezuela, there are restrictions. So Grupo Nutresa has in Venezuela a plant which produces cuts, and it's small, and it makes products of some platforms of the group. Our position has to be very prudent, extremely prudent for some years. We took the decision of not making additional investments in Venezuela. We have tried to remain there, of course, to not lose touch with the consumer, but we are extremely prudent. We always meet the regulations, avoid sanctions that would turn us into a target, an economic target in Venezuela. And that strategy so far has worked for us. When it comes to legal affairs, imports to Venezuela have to be consolidated at the rate and in dollars. And this, of course, could provide dividends. When it comes to the largest operation, which is cold cuts, that operation has always been done in dollars through the Khedive, and right now at a rate of 6.6. The importer has combined the different mechanisms like Khedive, Cita Uno, Cigaz 2 later. So when we turn these sales of Venezuela and divide them by 6.6, you can see that the sales are inflated because really the market, if you look at the pure market, the rate is much higher. And that's why we mention that when we have these growths, these are inflated because they're calculated at that rate. And we're constantly monitoring our risks there. And we have an exclusive risks matrix in Venezuela. And we're always observing what steps the group should take to protect its shareholders' equity and to maintain an operation there. Right now, when we see chances to have a free market in Venezuela, of course, it will be privileged. What we've tried to do is not to lose touch with the consumer, but we have always thought of assuming the lowest risk possible when it comes to margins. Jose Domingo, please answer the third question about margins. Rafael, to reply your questions on dividends, when it comes to the reduction of the operating margin of 10.4% compared to 11.4% of last year, if you look at the organic figures, specifically the effects, not only the financial performance of Tres Montes, which has the effect of Mexico, but also the transaction per se. If we evaluate or separate the complete transaction of Tres Montes with organic sales, our operating margin would be 11.8%, which is above the 11.4% of last year. Here specifically, we have the expense of the mercantile credit, which has to do with the value of the market of the acquisition and the accounting item of Tres Montes Lucchetti, which is reflected on expenses. And after separating Tres Montes, we have a margin of 11.2% to a margin of 10.4%. You said 11.4? No, 11.4% is the organic operating margin. Perfect. Thank you so much. I have no further questions. Everything is clear. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Carlos Ignacio as a new president. Thank you. We have a question of Jairo Eduardo. Yes, good morning to you all. My name is Jairo Budelo from Grupo Bancolombia. Two questions. One, could you please give us more information about Tres Montes Lucchetti in Chile, excluding the negative impact of the company in Mexico? And also you said that in March, the performance of the results has started to change since you recovered the inventory and we have the commercial dynamic. Could you please give us a sign what's the margin or the performance of that business division in March? And second, has to do with the expansion on a medium-term basis. In past conferences, you talked about a new business unit, which is food outside of the house, and that you have possible negotiations in this field, and that it could be something interesting. What can we expect in 2014 with regards to this business unit? Thank you. When it comes to Tres Montes Lucchetti, let me tell you the following. When you observe the sales of this year compared to those of last year, there is growth, but this is really focused on what happened in Mexico. In Chile, growth was 5.4% compared to the same quarter of 2013. In Mexico, we anticipated that we would have zero sales, not because of the good reaction of March. Obviously, in New Mexico, that 51.9% was less than last year because of the sale that we made in anticipation of the product. Overall, that effect of Mexico is non-recurrent, and as of April, sales are strong. The product has been well accepted, and we have marketing campaigns that are strong to shed light on the benefits of our product with the same flavor but less sugar content. So when it comes to product design, we really turned everything into an advantage. And we think that in the future, this should provide us some advantage in terms of this product category. When you look at the margins, you could say that generally, in snacks, the margins are higher. And there are other categories, such as pasta, which have a significant variation of 6.8% of larger margin. In instant cold drinks, also, it's 5.5%. Only in oils, there's a degrade of margins, but these are less important in the sales of Tres Montes Zucchetti. So, in general, we can say that we improved. And I believe that with the higher volumes, the results of Tres Montes Zucchetti will be better ahead. With regards to the medium-term growth or expansions, with regards to food for consumers, Grupo Nutresa did create that business unit. We have the VP since last year. Right now, we purchased ice cream parlors in Dominican Republic and in Central America, which are doing well. This year, as we had announced, towards the end of the first quarter, we will have the first Starbucks store in Colombia, in which we are partners with the SAM company, and we believe that we will be opening four other stores, at least four stores in Colombia this year of Starbucks, and that expansion plan is much faster thereafter. We're working actively seeking acquisitions throughout the group, and when you talk about the future, I believe that we also will be active in that business, because it's got significant growth rates, and we believe that we have strengths and that we could have synergies, and that it goes hand in hand with what we know what to do. So for us, it's quite possible to expand in this area, and we hope to provide you news about this same year. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. We have a question that was received by the webcast. It says, Jorge Cruz from Corbanca, Colombia. And his question is, good morning, with regards to the innovation program of Out of the Box. Currently, there is information or results to improve the EBITDA margin for this year in any category or product line. What expectations do you have with this risk capital fund for next year's? Thank you. Okay, first I'd like to mention that within the innovation task that we've done in Grupo Nutresa, we have different types of programs. The program of Out of the Box is based on promoting radical innovation.
It's not only to improve operating variables, but instead it seeks to feed ideas that will allow us promote products or categories or technologies or business units that are entirely radical. It's like opening the door to businesses that we don't have. The idea is not to feed money to just new businesses. The idea, this is really handle a risk capital investment fund in which we make business plans. We have teams that develop different projects. And as those ideas or business plans are established, results are made. So the idea is to surprise consumers and to have a space for radical ideas within Grupo Nutresa. There are other programs that are targeted to improve our profitability. Jose Domingo, for instance, recently talked about projects like Atlas, which is a project that improves the capability to supply our projects on a global scale. And this program began and every year has independent challenges. Usually, we do not disclose these programs because they're proprietary and basically the results are incorporated and afterwards shared. But we've got initiatives that seek to improve the productivity of plants, but out of the box is clearly targeting radical innovation. Thank you for your question. Thank you. And we have Diego. Please ask your question. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. I work with Alvis Atlas, and I would like to ask about the execution of the CAPEX. Could you please shed light on the CAPEX performance with regards to seasonability and to give me a context of the CAPEX per quarter? And could you please explain again what Tres Montes Uqueti is going through after what's happening to it in Mexico? And what's your expectations for the next quarters? Is there really a strategy to improve the margins of Tres Montes Uqueti? There is no citation, really. We know that it's something non-recurring what happened in Mexico, but we've got to improve the synergies that there are. And so do you expect to implement any programs in that sense? Let me give you two answers. This year, we have a CAPEX this year, which symbolically is high in the company's history. A significant portion of that CAPEX is used for the logistic network of the group, and with the interest rates that are growing, the double-digit growth rates that we have, as we mentioned before, this could become a bottleneck problem because the business could grow. The idea is to have an integral growth of the business, so most of the CAPEX is used in logistics. Within the CAPEX of this year, the budget includes to support the new plant of crackers in the U.S., which we are building for our biscuits business. There are $24 million that will be used for that plant, and the rest will be used for activities that will allow us to increase our capabilities in Colombia. And that's why that CAPEX not necessarily is related to the stationability or seasonability of sales. For instance, we should not have projects in the U.S. with significant businesses. Yes, there is seasonality in sales in Grupo Nutresa. We have higher rates, yes. For instance, we have Christmas and the end of the year, where the sales are great for the group. But the execution of the CapEx does not necessarily obey to seasonability. Usually, in these conferences, we disclose the total figure of CapEx, but we don't disclose the percentage over sales because there are other items and which you know better than we do. No, but with pleasure, we have a large CapEx. We do act responsibly, and every investment made with the CapEx involves an analysis that shows that it does add value for the company. Secondly, when it comes to Três Montes do Cati, I'd say that the margins are mainly related to the lower sales that we had in Mexico because of the degradation that we had because of the reformulation made of the product. And I'd also like to say that usually during the first year, you can see expenses to have a housekeeping per se, or to organize a house initially. But there are efforts that we make every day in the company. They have commodities there, and we're trying to make the best hedges, the best positions of reasonable inventory. However, we invite you to participate in all the projects that we have to improve profitability, to reduce waste, and we capture the synergies. And we have a plan to capture synergies in Peru and Chile, where there's a value that we expect to capture to benefit the group. Thank you. We have Juliana Valencia. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My name is Diana Valencia from Seiko Capital. My question is related to previous questions made. Let's talk about the EBITDA margin of Três Montes do Cati for this year. Well, Juliana, first of all, thank you for being with us. We don't have a guidance for that. What we have more is a general perspective and projection. And we believe that after this first quarter, in which we had this affection that of Mexico, as we've mentioned, we believe that the rest of the year, Três Montes do Cati will be better. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we have Francisco Zuniga. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Francisco from JBC. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, for your conference and welcome as a president. I know you've discussed Venezuela, but with the figures you'd say, I'd say that the EBITDA margin of Venezuela in the last quarter is a third than what it was in 2013. And I'd like to understand why, because there was no depreciation in the exchange rate like there was last year, meaning why can't you have the local profitability to price, and what's the strategy to recover the price and the margin in Venezuela? Secondly, with regards to biscuits, the first quarter it has a weak margin usually, but this one it was good despite the fact of the strong competition that you have mentioned. Do you expect improved margins for this year compared to last year? And what's the profitability level that you expect? Thank you, Francisco, for being with us in this conference. Firstly, with regards to Venezuela, when you look at Venezuela, I told you already we have two businesses there. One is a producer and a distributor. The distributor practically in the year had very small sales. When we talk about Venezuela, mainly we are talking about cold cuts.
Your observation, which is quite precise with regards to degradation of the margin in Venezuela, is true. In this, it's lower than that of last year. And the main reason is that in Venezuela, there is a law of costs and expenses, which regulates the price, the sales price of products. And we're doing the best we can there. But not in all cases can we transfer 100% of the costs and expenses to the products because there's an official control. So because of that, there's a degradation of our margin. The rest of the conditions of Venezuela, which you widely know, shows that the efforts that we've made so far really focus on trying to keep our presence there with the lowest profile and without making additional investments. Because we deem that our presence is justified because we want to be close to our consumers, especially when things are better, but we're not willing to have additional risks there. And that's the main reason why we have the degradation of the margin. With regards to biscuits, I'd like to mention that we had a first quarter that was really, really good. And I believe that that margin, frankly, in the past 23 years, I don't remember a better quarter of biscuits. And factors that help for this was first, innovation. Undoubtedly, innovation has been very well done, very well applied to the market. And it's not only relevant only to products, but it was very well taken to the consumer. And the consumer reacted well and responded very well. Second, we see very good marketplace. And we've begun to see better sales in the U.S., meaning when you look at the price per kilo of biscuits sold in the U.S., we have improved that. And thirdly, traditionally, the first quarter for biscuits is always affected because of the returns of Christmas seasons. And we have a lot of sales. Sales are strong in Christmas. And usually in January, what was not sold is sold at high discounts. The product is still good, and if it cannot be sold, it's returned, and those credits hit us hard in the first quarter. For instance, we had very great sales of biscuits and Christmas. So the combination of these three topics have led us to that great margin. I don't think that this will grow. But what I can tell you is that we're very well covered, and it's one of the businesses that will have a great result this year. Biscuits and in the future, when it comes to the question that we were asked before about the CapEx, I think that biscuits is a very large market in the U.S. of more than 6 million. And we are in a position to have good access to the market, the west of the U.S. So in the future, this is a promissory business, and we're optimistic. And this business will push Nutresa this year. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, for your answer. Thank you. And we have Eduardo Salamanca. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Basically, I'd like to ask with regards to inventories. Could you please tell us your inventories is basically in coffee. What are they? What do they involve? How many months of inventory of coffee do you have? Thank you. Normally, in these conferences, we do not provide the exact positions of our inventories. However, traditionally, To answer your questions, we combine different types of hedges, derivatives, for these markets. So when there are favorable cycles, we handle our inventories, and we have a landscape that could be positive when there are good prices, and we take physical inventories. But I can tell you that an average, and this will be seen in the second quarter, we will be talking about some sales prices. So I'd say that I cannot give you details because this would provide information to our competition, would go against our interests. But I can give you the peace of mind that in the second quarter we can see effects. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your question and for being with us. I'm sorry to interrupt right now. The conference has been for 80 minutes now. Thank you so much for being with us, for your questions. Anyways, although some questions cannot be answered through this channel, we have other channels through our Investors Relations Department and also through our webcast. And on the presentations, you have our contact info, and you can send your questions also to all of us. With this, we conclude the results, the first quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa. And again, we'd like to thank you for attending this conference. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may hang up.